Good evening, everyone. It's kind of just really very nice, small, intimate, familiar group. So it feels very nice to be here. It feels like a long time, actually, since I've been here on a Thursday night, and it's kind of interesting how it just seems so familiar, kind of like coming home, returning, but at the same time, essentially it feels really fresh and new. And herein lies the wonder. You know, I'm actually quite different than the last time I was sitting here doing this. Since then, I've gone through many experiences, reflections, and really just infinite moments that have changed me. And I don't even, in a way, really remember what I spoke about last time I was here. And if I did, I couldn't really repeat it, even if I wanted to. And this group of people is different, even though many of you I've been with here doing this before, this particular constellation is not the same. The temperature is different, the light is different, what is happening with each of you is different. None of you are the same people you were when I last saw you. What is happening in the world is different. And because all aspects of our present reality have changed and are not the same, you know, how wonderful and miraculous it is to be able to relax into the familiarity of this form. And from this place to actually better appreciate the difference and in a way to elucidate it, not to cover it over. In a sense, it provides us a still point, a center, a reference point in which we can rest so that we can move out more freely. Being held in this container, we actually don't have to work so hard to hold ourselves together. And I think most of us, the minute we walk through that door, feel that, especially after it's always, you know, very scary the first time, first couple of times we may do it. But once we've done it, I think we realize we are in fact held, and so there's a way in which we can let go that we simply can't other places where we don't. Funny, I was thinking about a few weeks ago, and it's amazing he's actually here on a Thursday evening at the same time I'm here on a Thursday evening. This never happens. Tokyo and I had gone to Sing Sing, and we were really looking forward to being back in this room, which we hadn't been in for a long time. And, you know, it's just very familiar and kind of, the whole space of it is really conducive, like the Zendo here, to being a small temple to being a Zendo space. And when we arrived, that was completely not what happened. I may have mentioned this last time, I don't know, but it was very chaotic that morning because there was a visiting relic of a young girl who had been made a saint. And so in the space that we moved through to get to this chapel room, was a viewing of this young girl's saint's body. It was actually a wax replica of her body that was surrounding her bones in a white dress laid out flat in a transparent plexiglass case, sort of like looking at a sarcophagi or something in the museum. And all these people were coming and viewing her. And anyway, it was a very, very different scene. And so it was chaotic. It wasn't clear if we were even going to be able to stay or we were going to have to go home. They didn't know where to put us. And then they had figured it out, and they put us in this other building, which was... I had never been there before, which was where they have their school, which is right on the perimeter of the rec yard. And so it was just a very completely different space. And when we arrived, the guards had no idea that we were coming. And so it was like, what to do with us, you know, where to go. And they found this classroom. And they said, okay, go in here. So at this point, it was just the two of us, you know, in this kind of empty hallway in this room, and then it was just filled with all these desks. But it was amazing. There were all these windows. It felt like we were in some kind of dream. But we just immediately started clearing out a kind of empty space with instinctually, and just created a space that was empty, just about maybe 9 feet by 9 feet, you know, a little square. And then we just kind of took the school desk chairs and made a perimeter as if they were like mats. And then there was this big desk, and, you know, we had none of our Zen props, like Tokyo called them, not Tokyo, Tokyo, excuse me, called them. So we just, you know, there was this big old globe. It was kind of wonderful. So we, you know, became Buddha. And then there was this plant, this overgrown plant, and that was our Ikebana flower arrangement. And there was, you know, half a bottle of Poland Spring water. So there was our water offering, and we had an altar. And then a couple of guys came in, and it was just sort of like, oh, okay, what are we going to do? The original plan was we were going to do liturgy training that morning, and of course there was nothing to practice liturgy training with. But just within moments, you know, almost really without words, we just fell into deciding, okay, we'll do our two periods of sitting, and then we'll do a council. And using, what was it you used to do the clappers? There were two chess pieces, these two little plastic chess pieces. There's old game, the clackers, the chess pieces clacked, and immediately, you know, we fell into silence, and we had this form. And all of a sudden, what was awkward, there was this incredibly rich comfort zone where all of a sudden we were able to communicate and be together, where we were able to just really communicate and be together. And as we kind of fell into the silence and then moved together, you know, as we did our Kin Hin line or through the desks around this little space, there was just a kind of seamless shift into the one body. And then during the middle of the second period, there was one guy who didn't even, you know, none of them knew. A lot of them never made it because they thought it was canceled and it was so chaotic. But one guy actually did make it into that hallway, and he'd been wandering up and down looking to where this is happening, and he was able to peer through and he saw us. And so, you know, he just was able to fold in, just fold in and relax really into this newly created temple. And it was created by our communal intention and our activity, those two things together. It wasn't just intention, there was activity, and it wasn't just activity, there was real intention behind this activity. And consequently, the whole energy and space of this room was different. And being in that room, so thus were we different and changed by this. And it was very powerful, and there were only five of us. And I was just, you know, that morning, I was just really so struck by, you know, I mean, it's very mysterious, the power of this form. And the power of this tradition kind of washed over me as we were able to completely improvise and yet maintain the essence of this tradition. And, you know, it was like I thanked God to have had the good fortune to find this form. Without it, we never could have made what happened happen. And, you know, that morning, I would say the form really revealed itself to me as language, in a sense, you know, as unique as English is from Spanish, is from Chinese, is from Italian. But rather than being a kind of means of control or order, and it is a means of order, I would say, it actually is another way of speaking and listening and really communicating. I found actually more deeply than we often do with words. But it is a language, both with and without words. And again, you know, it was just being able to fall into this form, you know, openness and awareness arose. You know, what was in one moment chaotic and disappointing was transformed by the conditions into a feeling of peace. And that peace was in no small part because of this kind of unity that was created between us. It wasn't a solo event. And if only for an hour and a half, there was a profound feeling of peace. And having these feelings, you know, even in the midst of what is otherwise completely chaotic, changes us. Because I think we then know that this feeling exists and is possible and is available if we have the energy and the activity to access it. So, you know, I have to say personally, I'm just so enjoying actually the quietness of the group tonight. But, you know, it struck me last night when I was here, you know, there were 9 people here, and it's just this incredibly beautiful space, and the atmosphere is like no other. And I'm like, why is it so empty in here? You know, I mean, me and Shinryu were just looking at it, Shen under the night, you know, it's just like, it's very mysterious, you know, when we have events and workshops and what have you, it's like all of a sudden everyone's here. And I don't really fully understand what it is. I mean, I know part of it is because everyone has just, we all have such busy schedules. But, you know, I've always felt that the evenings are really the quiet treasure and gold that this Zendo has to offer. Last night when I arrived, I was extremely wound up. I just kind of had a lot going on, and I was just in that space where my mind was racing. I got here late. I had been stuck in traffic, and I was one of those times, and I haven't been in this space in a while, where I couldn't really even imagine settling down. You know, part of me was like, oh my God, how am I going to sit for 3 periods? Although the minute I walked through the threshold of the door, something shifted in my body, and I could just feel, oh, it relaxed a little bit. And then the Han started barking, and the talking and the chatting just at that first bark stopped. You know, just everybody kind of became quiet and found their places. And we were all able to let go into the silence, of which we were actually all a part of. So instead of the silence feeling kind of isolating and lonely, the way silence sometimes can, it actually felt like a means to kind of wade into this ocean, this incredible ocean of being together. But as I said, my mind was, as I sat down, I was like, whoa, my mind is just twirling, you know. And that urge to distract myself was kind of palpable, you know. There was just a part of me that just wanted to get up and do anything else, you know, look at my phone, turn on the television, tidy up, find something to take care of, just whatever. I just, you know, was feeling very restless. But the form held me. You know, it was like being in these very strong but gentle arms. And I kind of knew that I couldn't get up. And because I was held, I could stay. And through the staying, by the end of the third period, the atmosphere in my mind had completely shifted. And it completely shifted over time and in time and through time. I could never think myself into that shift. There was no way I could be like, okay, just relax, let go, settle down, you know, be here now. And in 5 minutes, would the atmosphere of my mind have changed? No, I would have felt, and believe me, this has happened many times, you know, twice as crazy, because it'd be like, God, why can't I settle down? So it was something that really happened over time, in time, and through time. And it wasn't only the sitting. It's all the many rituals which use not only our intellects, but the body, the eyes, the ears, the nose, our whole proprioception. A typical evening at the Zendo is actually a complete body and mind experience which unfolds over the course of 2 hours with others as early evening becomes night. And in the context of a very skillfully designed space and means, our practice really elucidates and allows us, as I said before, to open up and feel safe. And from that place, we can really begin to learn and experience ourselves and others in very different and subtle ways, and ways that are different from our usual exchange of ideas and dialogue. And, you know, in no way do I mean to say that's not important and that there's no place for ideas and dialogue, because I would just say that obviously I don't feel that way. I mean, that is the other side of the coin. But what this offers is something very unique to itself and different, and it's distinctly not the same and offers a very different kind of transformation and learning. And this form, as we practice it here now, has been titrated down from a tradition that has been developed and continuously modified really for over 1,000 years. You know, every aspect of it is meant to help us simply pay attention and be present with others. And I say simply, but this is actually no longer a simple thing for us to do. You know, as a culture, we are completely forgetting, if not having forgotten, how to do this, how to just be over time with ourselves and with other people, particularly in times of discomfort and lack of entertainment. You know, I remember actually one of the most profound lessons that I've ever learned, that I've learned in all these years, was from very early on. It's probably in the first 6 months of when I started practicing, and we were back at the Zendo in Roshi and Joshin's apartment. And, you know, I was, you know, new to sitting still, and I was waiting for the Jikido to ring the bell, and I was in so, you know, that kind of pain where it's like, how am I ever going to make it? You know, that feeling of your head's going to blow off and just, I was like, you know, and as my pain increased, so did my rage and my anger at this poor Jikido, who no doubt was probably sitting there staring at the clock, willing the hand to move. Maybe not, but. I had many Jikido sessions myself like that. But the direct relationship between my own pain and discomfort, and then in reaction to that, my perception and treatment of others, that link was seared into me. In a way that I've certainly, it's not a new concept, but I got it in a way that I didn't from hearing it, from reading about it, from talking about it, but by actually really inhabiting it over time with the opportunity to both experience it and observe it, and actually many more times than once has this happened, as you can imagine. So there's also something to repetition, you know. It's not like, oh, I get it, and, you know, repetition through time. So I am completely preaching to the choir in this room, but, you know, I just encourage us all to, you know, really consider the value of making regular use of this time at the Zendo in this space with this constellation while it's available, because these are wild times and we don't know, you know, this, well, we do know this won't be here forever, but and, you know, there is just something profoundly powerful in the discipline, and it is discipline, of regularity and continuity. And through that, we really kind of go down to this level that's underneath conscious thought. And, you know, this is certainly how art is made. I think it's probably how any great scientific discoveries are made. It's also how, I think, self-revelation and reflection goes to another level, beyond just this very superficial thinking about ideas. So, you know, just to plug, the space is so beautiful in the evening. It's quiet, and you can just kind of hear the sirens and the horns, whine in the background. You know, there's nothing to gain, there's nothing to prove. You can just come in here and be and enter the evening quiet. And this expanse of stillness allows wonder to reveal itself. And the real wonder, not splashy wonder, but the real wonder of the most small, intimate things that actually are what make up our lives every day. I heard very recently somebody say, it was Margaret Mead's daughter, who's also a thinker, that ritual allows us to re-recognize the familiar, to see freshly the reality that continuously surrounds us, you know, of which we're really a part. You know, we're not spectators to it. We, in fact, are it. We are part of it. And ritual in our practice engages us. Again, we don't spectate it or analyze it. We experience it every time we come in, we remove our shoes, we move into silence, we bow as we enter, we come in, we find our seat, we bow, we turn around, we bow to the group. We sit down, we arrange our seat, we settle into our seat. We wait for the bell rings. We go into our zazen. Perhaps we speak with a teacher, perhaps not. The bell rings, we bow. We adjust our place, we stand, we bow, we walk with others, we follow the rhythm and the movement and the line of others. And so forth and so on. Minute activity by minute activity. And this ritual, far from being some exotic, strange thing, you know, maybe the first couple of times it feels like, God, this is weird, but it really doesn't take very long before it just becomes very ordinary and very familiar. And we are held by this ritual. And from this place, we can really begin to observe and see so many subtle and unconscious aspects of ourselves and other people. You know, we have the space to notice how we and how others walk, breathe, make a gesture. And it's not an observing in a very analytical, judgmental way, but it's kind of this way that allows us to recognize each other by the sound of a footstep or just the feeling of someone's presence. And you begin to sense that. You're facing the wall. You can't see, but you have a sense by the weight of the movement, the speed. Oh, that's Bokashu. Gliding by. Or there's Miyoko stomping. Roshi once told me I stomped. Julia tells me that too. So this form, our form, our ritual, is actually an ongoing teaching of relationship and simple appreciation of what is, of everything that is, that we encounter every moment. It holds us, and so we can relax our defenses, either a lot or maybe just a little, maybe just a little bit. And this ongoing teaching of interrelationship and appreciation of simply what is as never before the name of the game right now. How do we live together and appreciate each other as one body, yet one inconceivably diverse body? And we might never know this in our heads, but we can practice it, and through our own awkward ongoing practice, we can perhaps help others to practice it. And I would say this is truly the most worthwhile, valuable practice of a lifetime. Sentient beings.